بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the previous lessons we went through the first doubt and the second doubt of the people of Ash-Shirk. So, who can summarize for me the first doubt that the people of Shirk use to justify their Shirk? The first doubt. Junaid?
Is it that the Quraysh use the idols?
No. Doubt? The first doubt. The first doubt, they said, we believe in the Rububiyyah of Allah. As for the Quraysh, they never used to believe in the Rububiyyah of Allah. The first doubt, he said, the author, he said that you should know the Kuffar, whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought, they used to also believe Allah is the Khaliq and the Raziq and the Mudabbir. So it's as if he's answering the doubt of the mushrikeen of today, that don't call us mushrikeen. Our action isn't shirk. Our action isn't like the people of Quraysh, because we believe Allah is the creator. We believe Allah is the provider. As for the Quraysh, they never used to believe that. That's their doubt. Shaykhul Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhabi replies, and he says, no, even the Quraysh, they used to believe that as well. And then he mentioned a number of ayat to prove that they used to believe it. Then the second doubt. What's the second doubt? What's the excuse today of those people who worship the righteous people? Shafa'a and tawassul. They say, we are not actually worshipping the person in the grave, but we are seeking intercession through that person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the doubt that they use today. So they say that the person in the grave, we know he's not going to help us. He can't do anything. Allah is the one who helps. But the person in the grave will take us closer to Allah. He'll take our dua to Allah. Tawassul and ash-shafa'ah. So what's the reply to that? Meaning the Quraysh used to also do it. Now, this was also the doubt of the Quraysh. The Quraysh, they accepted that Allah is the one who is going to answer their supplications, but it's the righteous people or the idols or whoever they are worshipping who is going to take them closer to Allah. And then he mentioned two ayat. Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفًا. In Surah Zumar, ayah number 3. Those people who take awliya besides Allah, they say, we do not worship them except that they take us close to Allah. And this is the meaning of tawassul, an act of seeking closeness to Allah. In the next ayah, وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ الشُّفَعَاءُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They worship others besides Allah. They do not harm them, neither do they benefit them. However, they say, these are our shufa'a, i.e. our means of shafa'a to Allah. So the same excuse which was used then is being used today. What is the meaning of tawassul or wasila? Who knows the meaning?
To seek a closeness to Allah.
To seek a closeness to Allah. And then it's three types. Yeah?
Yeah, through your righteous actions.
So the first type is legislated tawassul. You can do that by either mentioning one of your righteous actions or
mentioning the names of Allah.
Yeah, seeking intercession through Allah through one of His beautiful names and attributes through the dua of a righteous living Muslim. And then there's tawassul, which is bid'ah. It's not allowed, but it doesn't reach the level of shirk. What's this level of tawassul? Who knows?
Asking Allah for saying this kind of status.
Yeah. make dua to Allah by the status of the Prophet, by the haqq, by the right of the wali, and so on and so forth. Nobody has a right upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the third type of tawassul or wasila, the third type, Suleiman, shirk. And what's the difference between a tawassul al-bid'i and tawassul al-shirki? Qasim, do you know? Dawood? Difference between tawassul bid'i and shirki? Yeah, you're addressing the person, the dead person. But the bid'i, you're addressing Allah, you're calling out to Allah, but through the name or through the status or through the right of somebody else. That's the difference. Okay, and what's a shafa'a? What is a shafa'a? Intercession. Meaning, a person pleading on behalf of somebody else. That's the meaning of shafa'a. Pleading or seeking intercession on behalf of somebody else. If people say to us that you people, you deny the shafa'a, you don't believe in shafa'a, is that true or not? No. Not completely true. So what's the answer? Good. There's two types of shafa'a. There's a type of shafa'a which we reject, and then there's a type of shafa'a which we accept. So what is the rejected type of shafa'a? Shafa'a al-manfiyya, what is it? Junaid? Yeah, so if you ask anybody else besides Allah, or something only which Allah can do, and you ask that person, we reject that type of shafa'a. And then what's the accepted, legislated, shari'i type of shafa'a? Good. First of all, you have to seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't say, O Prophet, I ask you your shafa'a on Yawm al-Qiyamah. You say, O Allah, I ask you the shafa'a of the Prophet on Yawm al-Qiyamah.
And all from people that Allah's given permission to.
Good. And it is only done by the permission of Allah. Why does Allah accept the shafa'a of that person who is pleading the shafa'a?
Because he's righteous.
To honor him. So Allah will honor the Prophet by giving him the opportunity to accept his shafa'a. Who will the shafa'a be on Yawm al-Qiyamah for which people? For the people of Tawheed. Yeah? Like the hadith of Abu Huraira, أَسْعَدَ النَّاسِ شَفَاعَةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهِ اللَّهِ خَلْصٌ مِّنْ قَلْبِ. The people who will be most deserving of my shafa'a on Yawm al-Qiyamah is those who said La ilaha illallah with sincerity in their hearts. Okay. Why will the people of Tawheed need intercession? If the people of Tawheed, then why do they need the intercession of the prophets or the intercession of the righteous on Yawm al-Qiyamah?
Because
of sins. So they will have committed some sins. They were meant to go into Jahannam or remain there for a long time. And then because the shafa'a of the righteous or the prophet or the angels or the scholars or the children, they will be removed from the fire or they will not enter into the fire and so on and so forth. So all of this was last week. In this lesson, we come to the third principle. وَالْقَاعِدَةُ الثَّالِثَةِ. He said the third principle, أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ظَهَرَ عَلَىٰ أُنَاسٍ مُتَفَرِّقِينَ فِي عِبَادَاتِهِمْ. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he came to a group of people, and all of them used to differ in who they used to worship. مِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Some of them used to worship angels. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Some of them used to worship the prophets and the righteous. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ الْأَحْجَارَ وَالْأَشْجَارَ. Some of them used to worship stones and trees. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ. And some of them used to worship the sun and the moon. وَقَاتَلَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُفَرِّقْ بَيْنَهُمْ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he fought against them all, and he never differentiated between them. It's as if the people who are doing these acts of shirk, the first doubt they said is, we accept Allah is our Khaliq. The Quraysh don't accept Allah is the Khaliq, so don't compare our actions to them. Then we brought the evidences to establish, no, even the Quraysh affirm that Allah is Al-Khaliq. So then they went to a second excuse. The second excuse is, our worshipping of the people in the graves and seeking is only a wasila, it's only shafa'a. Whereas the Quraysh, they used to worship the person in the grave himself. Then we established, no, even the Quraysh, they used to also do tawassul and shafa'a and al-qurba. Now they have a third doubt. And the third doubt is, if we've accepted everything you said previously, how can you compare what we're doing to the Quraysh? Our dua is for the awliya, is for the salihin, the righteous people, the awliya of Allah, the great worshippers, the pious people. And those people, the Quraysh, who the Prophet came to, they used to worship idols and stones and trees. So how can you compare somebody who makes dua to a person who had a soul in him, a righteous person like a wali, like they say Al-Ghawth Al-A'zam, Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimullah, he was one of the awliya, one of the righteous people from the Hanbali Madhab. He was from Baghdad, and they call him Al-Ghawth Al-A'zam. Al-Ghawth means somebody who rescues you in times of difficulty. Al-A'zam means the greatest, meaning your greatest relief and your greatest rescuer when you're in a difficulty is Al-Ghawth Al-A'zam. And some of them, they worship Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn radiallahu anhumah. Some of them, they worship Al-Badawi in Egypt. And all these other righteous people. So their argument is, our dua is being made to righteous people who were awliya at one time. And the Quraysh, they used to worship idols and stones. So why are you comparing our action to their action? The author, rahimullah, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, says no. The Prophet came to people and they didn't only used to worship the idols. Some of them used to worship stones and idols. But some of them used to worship angels. Some of them used to worship prophets. Some of them used to worship righteous people. Some of them used to worship trees and stones. Some of them used to worship the sun and the moon. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he strived against all of them. وَلَمْ يُفَرِّقْ بَيْنَهُمْ. And he never differentiated between them like you are doing today. So their doubt is that as long as you're making dua to a wali in the grave, that's okay. But as for making dua to an idol, that you're not allowed to do. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, did he differentiate between them? Did he say to the people of shirk who are worshipping Isa alayhi salam, no, you're okay because you are worshipping one who used to be a prophet. But Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl, because you're worshipping the idol, then you're upon misguidance. He never did that. He fought against all of them. He called all of them to At-Tawheed. And Allah called all of them Kuffar and Mushrikun. So the general principle here is, there is no difference between shirk and shirk. A person who worships Shaytan and a person who worships the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, both equal. Both of them are Kuffar. There's no difference between them. A person who worships Isa alayhi salam and Uzair alayhi salam and Maryam alayhi salam is equal to a person who worships a tree or a stone or an idol. There's no difference between them. Why? Because shirk is shirk. And shirk is only one type. So everybody who's worshipped besides Allah is falsehood. And Allah is the only one who is deserving of being worshipped. In fact, the scholars, they say that worshipping the righteous people, worshipping the awliya, worshipping the prophets, is actually worse than worshipping the stones and the idols and the shayateen. Why? Because when a person worships an idol, everybody knows it's wrong. But when a person worships a prophet, then people get confused. Think, okay, I understand the prophet, he was such a righteous person, he was such a pious person, Allah helped him with the miracles, maybe he can help me. So it's more dangerous for prophets to be worshipped, because people will be easily confused. Whereas nobody is confused about worshipping an idol or a stone. And then after this, the author, rahimullah, he gives evidences, like he always does, of every single point. He said, وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةً وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ لِلَّهِ. First he mentions a general evidence, that Allah said, fight all of them until there is no more fitna. And the meaning of fitna is a shirk. So look, Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, fight all of them until there is no more fitna, wa yakun ad-din lillah, and then the deen, meaning your ibadat, is for Allah alone. And then he gives evidence for those people who used to worship the sun and the moon. Allah said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرُ وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, and from his signs is the night and the day and the sun and the moon. Do not prostrate to the sun and the moon. Rather, prostrate to Allah who created them both. Why did Allah reveal this ayah? لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرِ. Don't prostrate to the sun and the moon, because some people at that time used to prostrate to the sun and the moon. There's another evidence that people used to worship the sun. And that is, there are three times in the day in which it isn't allowed for us Muslims, or it's prohibited for us Muslims, to pray a general nafl prayer. Three times in the day. And these are called أوقات منهي عنها للصلاة, times in which general nafl is prohibited. These three times are when the sun is rising and when the sun is at its peak, so you have no shadow, and when the sun is setting. In these three times, you're not allowed to pray any general nafl prayer. Why? Because at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was the time that those who worship the sun, they used to do their worship of the sun, because it's rising, or it's at its highest peak, or it's setting. So they used to worship the sun at this point. So look how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade the Muslims from even worshipping Allah at the same time as those people who used to worship the sun. And this is an evidence for something called saddu dhari'a. Saddu dhari'a, it means blocking any avenue which may lead to shirk, even if the avenue in of itself is okay. So when a person prays nafl, let's say when the sun is at its peak, is he worshipping the sun? No, he's not. He's worshipping Allah. He's praying salah. He's facing the qibla. He's making dua to Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not allow that, even that. Because in the time of the Quraysh, if another person, let's say a person weak in at-tawheed, and he sees you and you're making sujood, but it's the time where those who are worshipping the sun are also making sujood, what's that person going to think? That this righteous person, he's doing it and he's a Muslim, so it must be okay for me to do it as well. Even though you're praying to Allah and you're a Muslim and you're facing the Kaaba, but because it's a possible avenue towards shirk, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade it. And this is called saddu dhari'a. Building a dome, there's nothing wrong with it. Building any type of structure, there's nothing wrong with it. So when people build over a grave, the act in of itself, there's nothing wrong with building a dome. But so why is it forbidden in Islam? Saddu dhari'a. Because it's a possible avenue towards a shirk. And many other examples. They say regarding Umar radiallahu anhu, that the tree beneath which the companions gave Bay'atul Ridwan, the Pledge of Allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after the Prophet died, some of the companions, they used to come, or some of the people, they used to come and they used to sit under this tree. And they were only sitting under the tree. They weren't doing any shirk. They weren't seeking any blessings from the tree. They were just sitting under the tree. Umar radiallahu anhu, he uprooted the tree. Not because people were doing shirk, but maybe tomorrow. Today people are sitting under it, but what happens tomorrow in 100 years' time? People are going to start remembering, this is where the Prophet gave, the companions gave the bay'ah to the Prophet. This is where the companions used to sit. Our older generation, they used to gather around this tree and then they start touching the tree. So any avenue towards shirk in of itself is also prevented, and this is one of the greatest evidences. Also, the author mentions the evidence that some of the Quraysh, they used to worship angels. Allah said, وَلَا يَأْمُرَكُمْ أَن تَتَّخِذُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ أَرْبَابًا. And he does not order you to take the angels and the prophets as to be lords, meaning objects of worship. Why was this ayah revealed? Because some amongst them used to take angels to be objects of worship. Then he says, وَدَلِيلُ الْأَنْبِيَا وَالصَّالِحِينَ, and also the evidence that some of them used to worship the prophets and the righteous. Like for example, Isa alayhi salam. The Christians, they worship Isa. Who is Isa? Isa is one of the greatest prophets, Ulul Azam, from the five greatest prophets. And from amongst the Yahud are those who used to worship Uzair, who was another prophet. So again, he was a righteous person. Also Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَةِ, that those people who they are worshipping, they themselves are seeking closeness to their Lord, وَيَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ, and they hope in His mercy, وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ, and they are scared of His punishment. So in this ayah, Allah is saying that those people who you are worshipping, they themselves seek closeness to Allah. They fear Allah. They're hoping the mercy of Allah. I mean, they're righteous people. Why are you worshipping them? Why don't you worship the one that they're scared of, meaning Allah? Why don't you worship the one whose mercy they seek, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ, those people who are worshipping them. Meaning at that time, there were some people who used to worship other righteous people. And then, also, there are those who used to worship trees and stones. He said, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاةَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى, have you not seen اللات and العزة and منات? And these were three idols who worshipped at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the Quraysh. They used to worship these three idols. One of them was called اللات, the other one was called العزة, and the third one was called منات. Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, and he's one of the senior scholars today, he mentions who these three, what these three idols were. So اللات, this was an idol which was in At-Ta'if. And Ta'if is a city, I think it's about 40-50 kilometers away from Mecca. So it was a stone, and around this stone there was a building like the Kaaba. It was like a secondary Kaaba that was built, and people used to go there and they used to worship this idol called Al-Lat. And this was for the tribe Thaqif who were in Ta'if. And some of the scholars, they say that Al-Lat, this word is taken from the verb Latta. And Latta is an action whereby there was a righteous person and he used to take flour and dates and cream and oil and he used to mix it together, and he used to make a paste from it, and he used to give it to the people who used to come and do Hajj. And that's from the verb Latta Yaluttu. Rajulun Salihun Kana Yaluttu Sawiq. He was a righteous person, a wali, a worshipper of Allah, and he used to make this paste for the people who are coming to do Hajj, and they used to give it to them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was a righteous person. Then where this righteous person died, they built a structure. And then they started seeking shafa'ah and intercession through this righteous person who was represented by this structure. So even this was a righteous person. And also Uzza. Uzza, it was an area where there were many trees, a garden where there were many trees between Mecca and Ta'if. And they had built something there that they used to worship. And also Manat. And Manah, this was a place between Mecca and Medina. And the tribes Al-Khuza'a, Wal-Aws, Wal-Khazraj, from the tribes of Al-Medina, they should go and worship this idol as well. Also, Allah tells us in Surah An-Nuh, وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ. Nuh alayhi salam, he says to Allah, O Allah, I've called the people to worship you alone, but the people are saying, لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ. They're saying, don't leave your idols. وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيْعُوقَ وَنَسْرًا. And the people are saying, do not abandon Wad, and do not abandon Suwa', and do not abandon Yaguth, wa Ya'uq, wa Nasr. This is Surah An-Nuh. And these five names, these five gods, they were righteous people at one time. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, I mentioned Sahih Bukhari, that these five names, Asma'u Rijal min Asma'u Rijalin Salihina min Qawmi Nuh, that these were five righteous people at the time of Nuh alayhi salam, and then they passed away and then people started worshipping them. Some of the Mufassirun, Ibn Kathir mentions that these were the five sons of Adam, and all of them were righteous people. When they died, slowly people started seeking shafa'ah and intercession through them. So again, the action of the Quraysh is like the action of the people of today. It wasn't just idols and trees and stones. It was angels and it was prophets and it was righteous awliya and salihin. And he also mentions the hadith of Abu Waqid al-Laythi. He said, "Kharajna ma'a an-nabiyyi ila Hunayn," that we went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Hunayn, meaning the battle of Hunayn. وَنَحْنُ حُدَثَاءُ أَحَدٍ بِكُفَرٍ, and many of us had just left kufr. We had just accepted Islam. وَلِلْمُشْرِكِينَ سِدْرَةٌ, and the mushrikun, they used to have a tree. On this tree, يَعْكُفُونَ عِنْدَهَا, they used to devote themselves to this tree. وَيَنُوطُونَ بِهَا أَصْلِحَتَهُمْ, and they used to hang their weapons to this tree. And it was called Dhatu Anwat, meaning that tree which you hang your weapons to. Why were they hanging their weapons to this tree? As a form of barakah, seeking blessings, like people do today. Many of the Muslim countries, in fact, even here we've seen it, people will tie a ribbon to a tree. And they think that this will bring them good luck by tying a ribbon to a tree. Some people, and you see this in shopping centers, there'll be a small pond or an artificial amount of water, and then they will throw pennies in there. And they say whoever throws a penny in there, it will bring them good luck. In the Trafford Centre and the other places you see it. All of these are actions of shirk. And nobody should take this lightly, that it's only a joke. So even I remember when we went to Edge Hill University, there's a tree inside the university in the gardens and there's ribbons around the tree. Even in Nelson, there's a tree that I've seen that there's people of hanging ribbons around this tree, and I don't want to say where it is, but it's in Nelson. And I think it's in the house of a Muslim. So this occurs, and in the Muslim countries it occurs even more. This was exactly what the Quraysh used to do. So this companion, Abu Waqid al-Laythi, is a companion. He said, we had just left Kufr. We used to do these types of actions. We passed by a tree that the Mushrikun used to have. They used to devote themselves to this tree. They used to hang their weapons to this tree, seeking blessings to this tree. So then these companions, they said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, اِجْعَلْ لَنَا ذَاتَ أَنْوَاطٍ كَمَا لَهُمْ ذَاتَ أَنْوَاطٍ, why don't you make for us a tree as well, so we can seek blessings through it, just like the Quraysh also have this tree. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he rebuked them. He said, Allahu Akbar, إِنَّهَا لَسُنَن. He said, Allahu Akbar, these are the ways of those who came before you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he was amazed or startled by something, then three times he would say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Or he would say, Subhanallah. So this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When something shocks you, or you're startled by something, or you're astonished by something, saying Allahu Akbar, or saying Subhanallah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, قُلْتُمْ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدَيْ. He said, you have said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, كَمَا قَالَ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلِ لِمُوسَى, as Bani Israel, the Israelites, said to Musa, اِجْعَلْ لَنَا إِلَهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهَا, make for us a God like they have a God. Musa said to them, قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَجْهَلُونَ, you are people of ignorance, you are people who do not know. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forbade them. We have to pay attention here. We don't say that the Sahaba committed shirk. And neither did Bani Israel who were with Musa alayhi salam, neither did they commit shirk. Because they didn't actually do anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from the idea by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rebuking them. The only reason why this doubt came to them is because they had just left shirk. He said, نَحْنُ حُدَثَاءُ أَحْدٍ بِكُفَرٍ, we've just left kufr. So some of these things, maybe they're still not sure about, they're still learning. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam corrected them. If they had done the action, then it would have been a shirk. But they never did the action. So we do not say that the Sahaba ever committed a shirk. But they were new to Islam. They weren't from the senior companions. This doubt came to them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he rebuked them. And this hadith, he also shows us the dangers of imitating and blindly following the people of the other religions. Because what did they say? That they have a tree, they seek barakah to this tree, why can't we have a tree as well? So blind following and imitating the people of shirk and kufr in their acts of shirk and kufr is very dangerous, because it can take a person outside of the fold of al-Islam. So the point behind this is that the doubt that the people bring, don't compare our actions to the actions of the Quraysh. We worship the righteous, we seek tawassul and wasil and shafa and qurba through the righteous people, the awliya, the salihin. They do it to the idol. This is incorrect. Because the Quran tells us that the Quraysh, they didn't all used to worship just an idol. Idols and stones and trees and angels and prophets and messengers and awliya and righteous people, they used to worship them as well. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam differentiate between them, that your shirk is okay, but your shirk is not allowed, and because you're worshipping Jibreel, that's okay? No, he did not. He fought against all of them, and he called all of them to at-tawheed. And then the author, he mentions the final principle. He said, al-qa'idatu rabi'ah, the fourth principle, anna mushriki zamanina aghladu shirkan min al-awwalin, that the people who are committing shirk today from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their shirk is actually more severe than the shirk of the early people. Why? Because the shirk of the early people, they also knew Allah was the Khaliq and the Malik, and He's the one who benefits. They only used to commit shirk in times of ease. But when it was a time of difficulty, then they used to start supplicating to Allah alone. When they were in severe trouble, then they start supplicating to Allah and asking Allah, knowing only He can answer them. Then when Allah saved them and now they're easy again and affluent, then they start committing their acts of shirk. But today, what do we see? We see people committing shirk when they're in the times of, whether they are in the times of ease or difficulty. If they're about to die, if they can't have a child, then they'll go do shirk. What's the evidence of this? The saying of Allah, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, that they, when they used to embark upon a ship, meaning they're on this ship, they're in the middle of the ocean, the waves are hitting them, they're about to die, they're about to drown, what do they do? Da'awullah. Then they start supplicating to Allah. Mukhlisina lahuddin. And they are making their ibadah, they are making dua sincere for the sake of Allah. Then Allah says, falamma najahum lalbar. And then when Allah saves them to the land, takes them to the land, idahum yushirkun, and then they start committing a shirk. But the people today, they are committing shirk all time. Whether they're ill or they're healthy, they're committing shirk. Whether they're drowning or they're safe, they are committing a shirk. So the shirk in some instances is more severe. And also, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab in Kashf al-Shubhat, in another book, he makes another point. He said, at the time of the Quraysh, they used to worship idols, but these idols were after righteous people. Like we said, Wad and Suwa' and Yaghuq and Ya'uth and Nasr and Lat and... these were righteous people at one time, and then they started worshipping them. Nowadays, if you look at some of the people who they call awliya, or who they are worshipping, they're the most disobedient of people. In fact, they admit that. They say this wali is so much of a wali that there's no more wajib upon him. He doesn't need to pray salah anymore. He doesn't need to perform hajj anymore. He doesn't need to fast anymore. He can marry as many women as he wants. This is how high his wilayah is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can do haram because he is such a great wali now. So the Quraysh, those who used to claim to worship righteous, they used to actually worship people who are righteous. The people today, by their own admittance, they are worshipping people who are fujar and fusaq and disobedient people. People don't pray, people don't fast, people commit adultery, they go with women, they take people's wealth. All of this is known. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ash-shirk and from the doubts of ash-shirk and keep us firm upon at-tawheed. Alhamdulillah, we finished the second treatise, Al-Qawaid Al-Arba'. In the next lesson, we'll begin Al-Usul Al-Sitta, the six fundamental principles. Wallahu A'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.